We're going to go back to the scripture that we were in last week. It really wasn't my plan last week to come back to this scripture, but the Lord led in a different way. If you've taken time to read the words in the bulletin, our best for His glory update, and you see the way that God blessed us in the month of April. I got to thinking, there may be some people that are sitting here wondering every time I talk about our best for His glory and setting goals to where we want to have the best month of the year, every month during the year. Some people might be thinking, well, why would we do that? Why would we want God to give us more people? Why would we want God to give us more in the service? And this morning I'm going to try to answer those of you that might have that question. We're going to talk about Jabez. The only time he's mentioned in the Bible is in these two verses that we read a moment ago for our scripture reading. His name means sorrow or pain. He will cause pain. And I mentioned last week, with a name like that, he probably got a rough start in life. All his little buddies probably teased him about what his name meant, but he overcame that. And he was more honorable, the Bible says, than all his brethren. And God answered his prayer. He prayed a four-part prayer. Last week we looked at part one. O Lord, bless me, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And last week I pointed out to you that he prayed to the God of Israel, a God that is omnipotent, a wonder-working God, whose nature is to bless. And he asked for God's blessing. And I told you that that word bless means supernatural favor. And so Jabez asked God to do something that he couldn't do for himself, something that only God could do. And he asked. A lot of times we don't see God working in our lives because we don't ask him to. And Jabez didn't tell God what to do. He left the blessing up to him. He just left it up to God as to how he would bless. I want to remind you this morning that we pray to the same God that Jabez prayed to. God said in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. His son, Jesus Christ, does not change. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that blessed Jabez and answered his prayer is the same God that wants to bless us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. And too many of us, when we get saved, we're just satisfied, and we just say, well, I've got heaven secured. I've received Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. Nothing else really matters. And that's not how God wants us to look at it. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, but I want you to have it more abundantly. I want you to have what I want my children to have. I prepared for it. It would be like Adam and Eve going into the Garden of Eden, that wonderful place that God made, and settling down in one corner of it and never exploring its vastness, never exploring all the blessings that God had for them there. It would be like us going to a restaurant, a fancy restaurant that had a 7-course meal, paying for that meal, and then telling the waiter, well, all I want's the appetizer. None of us would be dumb enough to do that. I mean, if we're going to pay for a 7-course meal, I want all 7 courses and then some. Amen? I don't want to get cheated out of anything. I don't want to miss anything that God has prepared for me either. I took Aaron home with me Friday night. We went over to the Golden Corral. That's his favorite restaurant. He loves it. And there was this one guy. It's one guy that I saw going to the dessert bar. He believed in what I was preaching about this morning. Now me, I used some restraint. I just took one little cookie. He had a dinner platter piled high with cake and pie, and he believed in getting everything that he paid for. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. Jesus said, look, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it you more abundantly. In Matthew chapter 7, here's what the Bible says. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Nobody outgives a mom and a dad. Every single one of us can look back on our moms and dads and we marvel at how they gave. We marvel at how they sacrificed for us. And they were sinners. And here's what God is saying. He says, if your parents who are sinners know how to give good gifts to you, then think about a God in heaven who is perfect, who is omniscient, knows everything. Think about the kind of gifts that that God has for you. That's what God's saying. I quoted the verse before, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change. He wants to bless. And so Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. Now look, I want to tell you before I get to the rest of my message, you don't get life any other way but that through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get the new life, the eternal life, the life that will last for... Oh, by the way, everybody's going to live eternally. Bonnie's in heaven this morning enjoying eternal life. There's a lot of people in hell this morning that are living eternally, but they're not enjoying themselves. The only way that we get eternal life is to come through Jesus Christ. You can't get it through a church. You can't get it through communion. You can't get it through baptism. You can't get it through living a good life. All of those are good things to do in their place. But those things do not lead to eternal life. The only one that can that has eternal life, the only one that can impart eternal life is the one that paid for it on Calvary's cross. When Jesus went to Calvary, God placed on him every one of my sins, every one of your sins. When he died on Calvary, he died for every sin. Amen. He paid the price of sin. And he's able to offer to every single person the gift of life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life. You don't get it any other place but from him. And if you're here this morning and you're depending on your good works or you're depending on your church membership or you're depending on some sacrament of the church to make you right with God, you're depending on the wrong thing. You need to depend and put your faith on Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. That's the only thing that will open heaven's door. That's the only thing that will forgive your sins. That's the only thing that will give you a right standing between God, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Only thing. So Jesus said, look, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you life more abundantly. I want for you to have everything that God intended for you to have. As your pastor, I pray often. I pray, Lord, please give every person in our church what you have planned for them, what you want them to have. And when we come to the second part of the prayer that Jabez prayed, it sort of fits in with what I'm talking about this morning. It sort of fits in with what we're trying to do as a church to give our best for his glory. The second part of his prayer, after he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, he prayed, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my borders. One of the things that had just happened in the life of Israel, if you go back and you look at the genealogy about where Jabez fits in, one of the things that had just happened in the life of Israel is that they had come into the promised land. And Joshua has divided the land by lot, by inheritance to the different tribes of Israel. He given to each tribe and each family in each tribe a piece of property, a piece of land. The land was by family, by tribe, so to speak. But within that tribe, each family had a specific plot of land that were assigned to them. It was theirs. It was their responsibility. They were going to that piece of land and drive out the enemy if they were there. And then they were to use the land to provide and care for their families. And here's what Jabez was praying as he prayed, enlarge my coast. He's saying, God, I want you to enlarge my borders. I want a bigger piece of land. I want you to take my borders and stretch them. I want you to take my borders and expand them. I want to do more for you. It would be like a mom and dad asking God to give them more children. It would be like a Sunday school teacher asking God to give them more pupils in their class. It would be like a nursery worker. And we got some nursery workers that pray this prayer. If you don't want this to happen to you, you better stay away from them. But we have nursery workers that pray for more babies. And they're not discriminate in their prayer. They'll just pray that, well, they want you to be married, of course, but they'll pray that you just have you have babies so that they can fill up their nursery. That's one of the reasons we're building a bigger nursery, because that one's too small. I'm afraid by the time we get done with this one's going to be too small. The way that God is answering that prayer. It would be like a church praying for more people. And that's what we're doing. We're praying that God will send us more people. Now look, I want to mention three things from my message this morning. First of all, the purpose for expanding our coast is so that we can serve more people. Getting a bigger coast doesn't mean that life gets easier. It wasn't in the case of Jabez. When he prayed, "Lord, expand my coast," he wasn't praying for something that was going to make it easier in his life. If God answered in prayer and gave him more land, it would mean more enemies to drive out. It would mean more land to clear. It would mean more property to take care of. Bigger coast means more work, more labor, more sweat, more tears, more animals to take care of. More land to plow and to seed and to hoe. But it also means bigger harvests. It means more crops. It means more baby animals. Look, when parents pray for more kids, you that are parents know this. You're not praying that God will make your life easier. It's not easier to have the third or fourth. Or ask Harry and Marlene. I mean, number five and number four and number five were, well, never mind. Because they're sitting in this room and I don't want to say anything that would. But having more kids doesn't make life easier for parents. It's more work. It's harder. Having more babies in the nursery, you think that makes it easier for the nursery workers? No. It means more diapers to change and more bottles to warm up and to feed. It doesn't make life easier. You think having a bigger church, for example, we pray for more kids in Awana. You think having a bigger Awana program makes it easier on the Awana workers? No, it doesn't make it any easier. It makes it harder. There's more little kids to keep up with. There's more little kids, to round up and make sure we know where they are and make sure they're not getting into trouble. I mean, it makes it harder. But it also means, as God enlarged our coast, it also means for a mom and dad, there's one more child that they can influence for God. There's one more child that they can train up in the ways of the Lord. For the nursery workers, it's more babies that they can tell Jesus about. It's more babies that they can love. It's more babies of moms and dads that they can show those moms and dads there's a group of people that loves their children and cares for their children just like they want them to be loved and cared for. More kids in Awana means there's more. This little boy that got saved this morning, he'd come to Awana several times already and heard the gospel. He got saved this morning because somebody took the time and showed him about Jesus. That's what an enlarged coast means. That's what a larger church means. It doesn't mean that we can put a bigger number on the board. Nobody cares about the number on the board. What it means is there's more people that come into this place to hear about Jesus Christ. There's more people that come into this place that have an opportunity to get saved. There's more people that come into this place that have an opportunity to get their life right with the Lord. That's what an enlarged coast means. It doesn't mean that it makes it any easier. Ask the Awana workers when they go home on Wednesday night. They walk out of here dead tired. I can remember when the Awana missionary came, explained the program to us before we got started. He talked about all the benefits of the program. And so, you know, I'd never been exposed to it before he got through with the presentation. I raised my hand. I said, "Brother Rick, if this is such a wonderful program, why do you take the summer off? I mean, why don't you have Awana all year?" And he looked at me and laughed. He said, "Well, by the time you get done with the first year, you'll see. Your workers will need a break. they can't do it all year. And I found out that he was right. I mean, I see them go home on Wednesday night. They're dead tired. They can't put one foot, hardly put one foot in front of the other, because they've given their hearts and their souls and their energy and their lives to those kids. Lord, enlarge our coast. Not to make it easier, so that we can influence more people for Jesus Christ. Second thing I want to point out to you is an enlarged coast is not dependent or limited by our education, by our personality, by our wisdom, by our ability. An enlarged coast was not dependent on Jabez. I mean, God didn't look at him and say, well, I can't give you a larger coast because you don't have what it takes to handle it. Because God knew that when Jabez prayed that prayer, he was praying in the spirit that said, give me a larger coast and then give me what I need to handle it. You see, when we pray the prayer for a larger coast, we need to realize that we can't handle the coast that we have now without God's help. I look at the things that I have to do, and I want to tell you, there's no way I can do them on my own. I mean, I got a pretty good education, but there are things that I never learned in school that come up every week. There are things that, in my own wisdom, I cannot handle. I can't handle what I got now. The only way I can handle them now is because God works through me. And if you pray for an enlarged coast, it's not because you can handle more responsibility. In all honesty, you probably can't handle on your own what you have now. The only way you can handle what you got now is to let God work through you. Not with you, not in association with you, not as your partner, but through you. His mind becomes your mind. Your hands become his hands. Your feet become his feet. Your heart becomes his heart. And God works through you to reach more people. The only way our coast can be enlarged is for him to work through us. But as he works through us, it'll keep more people from dying and going to hell. It'll keep more Christians close to him. It's not limited by us, because God does it. And so number three, the last thing I want to say is this. When you pray, pray big. Pray big. When Jabez prayed, he said, Lord, enlarge my coast. He didn't tell God how big to make it. In fact, his prayer is what the, if you look at the construction of the language, it's a linear prayer. God, make it bigger. God made it bigger. God, make it bigger. God made it bigger. God, make it bigger. It was a never-ending prayer. The bigger it got, the more Jabez wanted. The more God enlarged his coast, the more Jabez wanted him to make it bigger. Some of the saddest verses in the Bible are when human beings limit God. When human beings put God in a box, and even though he's an omnipotent God, when we put God in a box, he can't bless the way he wants to bless. The Israelites on their way to the Promised Land. There's their verse, and I can't remember what book it is, one of the first five books of the Bible. God came to his people, and he says, you've limited me. 10 times I wanted to bless you more than I bless you, but 10 times you've put me in a box, and you've limited me. Look, God wants to bless. He wants to give us a bigger coast. It doesn't depend on our resources or our ability. It depends on our submission to him. And we want that bigger coast. Again, not so that we can put a bigger number on the board, so that more people will be in this place to hear about Jesus Christ. So that more families can be influenced with this book. So that more kids, we can tell them the story of Jesus and see the same thing that happened to this young man this morning. We can see him come and ask Jesus to be a Savior. That's why we pray for an enlarged coast. And I challenge you to do that. I know I've had a lot of people talk to me, especially after last week, and say, oh, all those kids drove me nuts. I didn't think I was going to take it. And they were asking me to say, I know what they were asking me to say. They wanted me to say, well, don't worry about it. That won't happen too often. But here's what I said. I said, get used to it. Amen. I hope it happens every single week. I hope you have to hire a psychiatrist if you're going to go nuts because of all these kids. Because we want those kids. We want them rubbing up and down. We want them locking the bathroom doors. And if we find out who's locking the bathroom doors, we're going to get that kid. Some kid is going in the ladies' bathroom, locking the doors, and crawling out from underneath the stalls. One of our refined ladies this past week had to crawl underneath those stalls and open the door. And I promised her, if I find that kid, I'm going to get him. In a nice way, of course. But that's what we want. It doesn't matter that we got to touch up the paint. It doesn't matter that there's nicks in the wall. It doesn't matter that there's gum on the pews. Just look before you sit down. None of that stuff matters. All this stuff can be replaced. We can fix it up and we can buy new. But a child that goes to hell is there for eternity. We're trying to keep them out of hell. We're trying to bring them to Jesus Christ. So this week, you pray, Lord, bless me indeed. Do something supernatural in my life and enlarge my coast. Make me responsible for more, because the more I'm responsible for means there's more people that I can influence for your kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives. Thank you for your blessings upon us. But Father, help us to never grow satisfied. Help us to always want more. Help us to always want there to be more people, more kids, more families, more lost sinners that we can tell the old story, the gospel to, and see them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray this morning, if there's anyone in this service that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been talking to them while I've been talking. You've showed them their sin. You've shown them the penalty for that sin. You've shown them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for that sin. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would bring them to the Savior. You would bring them to Jesus. The only hope they have for heaven. The only hope they have to escape hell. Help them to realize it's not the church or communion or baptism or anything that makes them right with you. It's only coming through Jesus Christ. And help them to do that this morning. For the many Christians that are here, Father, I pray, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, that we'd never get over getting saved. Help us never to get over it. Help us to always remember that we were a lost sinner. We were headed for hell. We had no hope. But Jesus looked down, lifted us from our sin, set us upon that solid rock himself. And we have an abundant life. We have an eternal life. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to remember that, and then you'd help us to serve you. Help us to pray for an enlarged coast, more people to minister to, more people to tell about Jesus. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something you need us to do, help us to do it in the next few moments. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.